Coming up on Only a Game, why does the story of Martin Luther King's most famous speech belong on a sports show? We'll explain. But first, Charlie Pierce is here with the week's news. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Doug.
In the biggest sports story of the week, it's the NFL Pro Bowl weekend.
Oh,
hang on. I think somebody put
please,
the wrong page on
top. Please, can we please talk about the Pro Bowl? Can we please talk about the Pro Bowl? I think Team Dion's got a real shot this year.
So about Deflategate, is it all a lot of hot air, or has the Patriots' legacy been forever tarnished?
I don't know. I don't care. It's the equivalent of an emery board in the pitcher's glove, a cork bat, a hockey stick that's bent a few millimeters too far. You know, the idea that this has become some sort of national scandal indicates only that we've become a nation of infantilized yahoos. Now, there's one slight caveat to that. Both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady left themselves no wiggle room in their denials of having anything to do with whatever this is supposed to be about. If that turns out to be wrong, their credibility shot. But on its merits, this thing should have been laughed off in an hour and a half.
There will be no concerns about tampered footballs during next Sunday's Super Bowl, Charlie. The Chicago Bears equipment manager will be in charge. Do you think that will do anything to assure the masses?
Yeah, because that means both teams will lose. No, that's not true. One is compelled at this point to ask the question, if this thing is a way to keep things on an even playing field, why the hell doesn't the NFL do this for every game?
Seattle running back Marshawn Lynch would rather pay fines than speak to the media. Now he finally finds a way to express himself, and he gets another fine. What gives?
Well, you can't be grabbing your groinal area in a demonstration of your superiority in the NFL, which, by the way, can't find its way to talk to Tom Brady about this whole football thing that's been exploding all around them, but they, by God, can fine Marshawn Lynch $20,000 for doing that and make sure he doesn't wear gold cleats.
In less controversial Super Bowl news, this year's game has inspired a super bet. Please tell us about the stakes agreed upon by Captain America and his fellow Marvel Comics character, Star-Lord.
First of all, this is a great story because it finally explains to me that Chris Pratt and Chris Evans are not the same guy, which I went a long time believing. Apparently, Evans is a Pats fan and Pratt is a Seahawks fan. The loser of the bet has to visit a children's hospital in costume in the winner of the bet's area. That leads me to really want a tie, so they both have to do this.
Right, exactly. Charlie, we had vowed we would not speak again this season of the lowly New York Knicks, but on Monday, they finally broke their 16-game losing streak, so I guess that deserves a tip of the Only a Game cap.
And they won the next night, too. They won two games in a row. They're still awful, and there's no reason to talk about them after this. And certainly we're not going to make an issue out of every time they win a game.
When billionaire Steve Ballmer bought the LA Clippers for $2 billion, we knew that the value of all NBA teams would rise as a result. But now Forbes says those values have increased by an average of 72%. I'm not an investment expert, but doesn't that seem like a pretty good return to you?
It's a really good investment if you happen to have a couple of billion dollars to invest in the first place. The Lakers went up 93% in value despite having a terrible year and probably seeing the end of Kobe Bryant. And the Golden State Warriors went up 73% value. And, of course, the Brooklyn Nets went up 92% valuable, and they're for sale. So good luck if you happen to have a couple of billions sitting around the couch.
The NCAA voted 79-1 to increase the value of student-athlete scholarships to reflect the full cost of attendance. Do you think the lone dissenter missed all the news about the class action lawsuits currently making their way through the courts?
Oh, no. This is another sandbag against the rising tide. This cost of attendance thing was something that they talked about as a possibility while the O'Bannon trial was going on, and even more enthusiastically after they lost the ruling there. Yeah, they're stacking the sandbags as high as they can, but the wall's still going to come down sooner or later.
Ace Max Scherzer's $200 million contract with the Washington Nationals made big news this week, but I'd like you to consider 33-year-old pitcher Dontrell Willis out of the league since 2011. He signed a minor league deal with the Milwaukee Brewers. What brought Mr. Willis back to the game?
He just likes baseball, and he said he likes being on the field. He doesn't play golf very well. He doesn't own an Xbox, and he has four daughters. I don't know where the daughters figure in with the golf and the Xbox, but this will be a good story, and it's a no-lose move for the Brewers.
Las Vegas is still the reported first choice for NHL expansion, and this week an anonymous owner let slip how much he thinks the league will charge for that honor. Even for Vegas, it seems like a substantial sum.
Yes, it's going to come in somewhere between $450 and $500 million, and that would suggest $475 million, which is an incredible fee for a franchise in what is essentially the fourth North American major league.
Jeff Gordon says 2015 will be his last season as a full-time driver. Mr. NASCAR, would you like to comment on Mr. Gordon's farewell lap?
Oh, it's going to be fascinating because he's always been a lightning rod among the diehard fan base, especially when Dale Earnhardt was still alive, because Earnhardt was always posed as the anti-Jeff Gordon, who was a wealthy kid. He wasn't from the South. His father got him started. He was handsome. He got a lot of attention. The aggrieved blue-collar base of NASCAR fans never really liked him. But I guarantee you he will go out flooded with warm feelings from the NASCAR crowd.
And finally, Charlie, a seagull was struck by a cricket ball during a match in Melbourne. As 30,000 fans looked on, one of the players carefully carried the motionless bird over the boundary line. Would you like to pick up the story from there?
Yes, the bird came back to life and flew away, and everybody in the stadium went, "Ah!" This proves only one thing.
What's that?
That cricket is so boring, it can wake the dead.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland, among other places, and he joins Bill Littlefield each week on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Doug.